Yeah. Now, we already spoke here a little bit about developers, right? And especially the front-end developers, right? And one purpose of this talk for me is to really sort of this kind of a bridge the gap, right, which I often see between the people who really have a database as a center of their, at least professional life, right? And the people who are writing an application and, you know, database just of them like a thing. It's like a toilet, right? You do your business and you move on with your life, right? Something like that, right? For those people, the database is typically like a black box, right? There is this black box, right? And what I want is I connect to the service point that is provided to me, right? I connect it quickly, I run my queries, and that's all I care about. And all that kind of, you know, change buffer kumbaya, never heard about it, right? What about queries, right? What do would you as a developer think about queries? Well, these are actually pretty simple things, right? When you connect it to a service point, you add queries, you want them to complete if no errors, right? You want them to provide you correct result set, because if you wouldn't, we could alter all the MySQL tables to black hole and get a fantastic performance, right? No errors too. And also you want them to make sure that they complete in that response time what your application expects, right? And I think that is a very important thing to understand. If you look at from the individual developer standpoint, right, like run application, hey, performance, response time for my queries is all I care about. And how that internal database kitchen works, you know, somebody else's problem, right? Now, if you think about the response time from their database point of view, right, that is often seen like, well, I see that response time for a query is in average, right, or whatever distribution. We'll talk about that later. But that is different from what business cares about, right? If you think about the business point of view, you think about, well, do my user have outstanding experience in terms of performance with all of the application interactions, right? That means, you know, like a search should work and place an order should work, right? And whatever. And database is important part of that, of course, but not is their complete part. What is interesting in this case is what as database engineers, we often talk about those kind of different events, kind of like a bad performance and the downtime. And say, well, you know, no, we weren't down. It just was taking 15 minutes to run my very basic basic query. Well, from user standpoint, the bad performance, very bad performance, is indistinguishable from downtime. Because A, we don't have patience, right? Then even if people are very patient, then the browser, right, or some other timeout will happen, and nobody gives a shit about that query, which may still continue to be running. Another thing to understand about query performance is you do not want to focus on the averages, right? I like this kind of one saying, but there was once lived a man who tried to cross the river in the average 1 meter deep, right? That is the same applies to the query, right? If your average query time is X, well, that means pretty much nothing, right? You need to understand more about that. And I like in this case to look at their percentiles, and even more to make sure you can look at the specific distribution of your of a query response time. If you that gives you a lot more insight. Now, one thing to understand about the percentile, you may be looking in and saying, like, well, great. My queries have this decent 99 percentile, right? But that does not mean on a business side what 99% of your users have a good or like acceptable experience. Why is that? Well, because guess what? The single user interaction can correspond to a lot of queries sequentially, right? Which all add up, and typically through their journey, user has a number of those interactions, right? So I would say like even 99 percentile, that may all, well, depending on your application, only correspond to like 50% of user session. So if you really see the complicated large environments, right, they are really focused on either relatively, you know, short SLA for or rather high percentiles. Another thing that I would encourage to pay attention to is errors, right? And make sure you are measuring response time for those as well, because errors actually can be of two kinds: fast errors and slow errors. In certain cases, let's say if your table doesn't exist, right, you may be like get the response time straight away, and if you put all your error queries and actually normal queries in the same bucket, you may say, oh my gosh, my response times are doing kind of so well, right? But on the other hand, if your query is, for example, error is a lock wait timeout, then that is a slow error, right? It actually will have a higher response time, right, than the normal cases, right? That is why I always suggest to make sure we measure response time for normal queries and for queries with problems differently. Another thing which is very important is looking at response time over time, right? Because traffic changes, a lot of things are going on in the system, right? And just saying, hey, I'll have a response time of X over some long period of time, it's not very helpful. Also, what you would see in many cases, you still start with like a small performance problems, right? Maybe, so, you know, like a SLA violations, which are, if unfixed, they convert in the downtime. Like, for example, in MySQL world, right, you may say, well, I have forgotten this kind of runaway query, and my history accumulates, right? It will slowly increase and increase your response time. If you measure that all the time and say, well, something is not trending in the right directions, you probably can fix it before that will be seen as a downtime by your users, right? If you are not, then not so much, right? And this is example what we have here, right? Or what you often may see something like this as well, for where all the queries have like a spike in the response time, which you often may correspond to something external happening in the environment, right? And I think here is what is very interesting, especially for us running in the cloud, we only have limited observability to environment, right? If there is some shit going on an Amazon backend, they're not going to tell us that, right? Oh, you know what? We had, let's say, some, you know, free hard drives failed, which back our your EBS, and we had to, you know, some rebalance, yada, yada, right? The another question I would ask is where we want to measure response time, right, from a queries. In my opinion, both application view and database view in the combinations are very helpful, because the application can see real thing, right? If your network, for example, is adding some latency or whatever reason, you will see that from application, not so much from a database, right? Because it only sees from, hey, I got response to sent the data back. But the database view allows you often to see a lot more insight about what have been going on inside, where from application side, we often can, you know, just capture the query time, maybe some very basic additional parameters. So what we spoke from our business view, right? Well, we already said what that all users have outstanding performance experience of all their application interactions, right? Let's now try to break it down a little bit more, right, to what that may mean. In this case, I want to introduce this little project or flag from you. This is SQL Commenter project by Google, right? I mean, which is pretty cool in terms of what it allows to pass you the metadata, right, which you understand as a developer all the way to SQL query. They implemented that support through a number of frameworks, right, and it's also supported in their Google Cloud monitoring environment, right? And I would very much see that develop more, right? And for at least kind of us come to some sort of shared standards between the databases, right, or whatever, how we can augment query information with sort of like a tags, values, right, which users care about. So what are the possibilities which can be quite helpful in this regard? Well, finding, for example, who is our actual user tenant who is query corresponds, right, because we often may have, you know, different performance issues, right? Finding an application, like, or some sort of like a subset of application functionality where many of them may be hitting the application, right? Version information, maybe information about like an their engineer of a team who is responsible. Oh, I often see DBAs or SRH team having problem, like, oh, I see this nasty query which was shipped yesterday. I know because was shipped today because I know it wasn't there yesterday, right? But now having to find out who the hell introduced that stupid query may be problematic in a large environment. Now, a lot of focus, and I think the core of a query-based observability may be about the query. And by a query, I mean obviously like a query with sort of like its which is same except different parameters. And that is very helpful because, well, obviously we have a different complexity, different expected SLA, and so on and so forth. The next way also to break things down for me would be to look at a schema or database. And why is that interesting? Oh, I just noticed right now what it's being cut a bit. See? Yeah, well, anyway, life is life. I'm just not going to be lucky in this room, right? Yes, yeah. But well, we can blame our Windows, right? On this conference, we can and should blame Windows.
Yes.
Okay. Well, why schema and database are also good? Because often we would separate in the multi-tenant applications different tenants by schema. In that case, that gives us a good profiling for performance of our different schemas, right? Like we can see here an example with PMM tool. Another thing what I found is very helpful to find a way to separate the data by different tables, right? In many cases, you want to say, hey, you know what? How queries hitting given table is affected, especially if it did some change which relates to the table. Hey, you know what? I changed the indexing on this table. Let me see how all the queries hitting this table is impacted. Very helpful because there may be some surprising differences. Database users. That is another thing which is quite helpful because that often allows us to identify the service or application, right? If you're following good security practices, you would not let all your applications, right, just to use one username, you know, not a good idea, right? And also find human troublemakers, right, which are doing, having direct access, right? And so many times you'll find somebody, you know, running the query, right, and say, okay, well, yeah, it's slow, but whatever, I'll go for lunch. You know, I have time. Well, you may have time, but your database may not, right? So yeah, we also, like here's example how we provide that. I also mentioned database hosts and indexes. In many, an instance, in many cases, that is very helpful because even if you may think, oh, my different database instances should perform the same, well, world is a messy place, and world in the cloud is even messier place, right? They may not exactly have the same performance due to, you know, some strange configuration differently, having a bad day, right? Or even maybe having a different load, right? And that is a good to be able to break it down, right, when you see some of your queries are not performing very well. I would also look at the same stuff from a web server or application server instance. Because again, if you have like a, maybe like 100 nodes, you deploy the same application, you may think, hey, we are all going to perform the same, hitting the database. Well, that is not always the case, right? I have seen changes from people saying, 1FM is misconfigured or for some reason cannot connect the cache. So it's, you know, hitting, you know, 10 times more queries right on the database than it should be. Or the application rollout didn't go well, where you eliminated nasty query on 99 of application instances, but not some others, right? It's very good to actually be able to validate that. Because what you would see, or like, again, from a DBA standpoint, you know, developers, sysadmins, storage people, they are going to tell you shit, right? But they are going to lie, right? They are going to lie, right? Maybe not intentionally, maybe because of their ignorance and limitation of their tool, but as a DBA, CSCD or something, you want to point them out to their shit and say, look, this, I have evidence, right? Evidence is good, right? So clients costs, custom tags, is very helpful if you can extend. That is what we spoke about, the SQL commenters. Something else, which I find very helpful, which we cannot quite easily get with MySQL, but being able to separate the query by the query plans, right? Often you may have a query which looks the same, but it may take different execution plans, right? And often that may be correlated to its performance. In certain cases, it is totally fine, right? With very different situations. Sometimes MySQL optimizer may get a little bit, you know, crazy, just and have that optimizer plan drift for no good reason, which is may not be very easy to catch, right? And would be helpful to do. What I also would like to highlight, right, is when you find the specific query and say, hey, this query has, you know, nasty performance, right? We often want to understand where that query response time comes from, right? And that is some of their things, right, where it can come from. Certain of them are relatively easy to find out, right? Certain are not very well, right? For example, wherever query has waited on available CPU, right, because system was overly saturated, well, you can't really see on per query basics, right? You can only see those things, well, my CPU was kind of like a super packed, right, on a period of time. Okay, here are a couple of other things to consider when you're looking at the queries. One, you want to really look at separately at the bad queries, right, versus victims. Because sometimes you will see, oh, queries are getting slower, but it's not because of them. It's about some other nasty queries, right? Maybe that is your Java developer who thought, well, you know, to solve my problems, I will just launch this stuff with, you know, with the 200 threads, right? And make sure I'm good, but everything else is kind of slowed down, right? And that's maybe tricky. One thing is what you should not forget the currently running queries. In many cases, like if you look in performance schema, queries by digest, that gives you what happened in the past. But believe me, if you started, you know, 50 instances of some very bad query, which continues to run, well, that may be the reason of your problem, not the past, right? And to connect to that, I think it is less problem in MySQL right now, right, if you're using query timeouts, which is a very good practice, right? Because if you say, hey, you know what, for all my interactive queries, by default, I set the timeout of, let's say, 15 seconds, then you should not care too much about your past queries because, well, you know what, everything gets killed after 15 minutes. Also, 50 seconds, right? You should not ignore the stuff which is invisible from a query standpoint, right? Databases do a lot of shit in the background. You may also do things like your operation teams, like, well, backups or provisioning another node for cloning, right? Or the cloud or wherever your VM system may need to do something in the background. It may not be directly visible, but that can impact your query performance, right? So sometimes, well, when you observe a query impacts and you can't really see what is causing that, it's possible. I also would encourage to avoid what I would call like a biased sampling. I see people sometimes would say, hey, you know what, we will set long query time to 1 second and only look at the queries which are more than 1 second in length. Well, you may be only focusing on the outliers, right, and missing the possibility to optimize other queries, right, or actually even focusing on the queries which provide, which are responsible for providing that experience, right, for your users. Okay, we find another thing, like a last minute I have or something. I wanted to say, hey, what I would like to see from MySQL to do better. Where is Kenny? No, Kenny? Yes, he's always hiding, right? He probably wanted to get another sandwich, damn it. Okay, so here are some things that I would like to see. One is better support for prepared statements, right? And right now, right, it's kind of, you know, not done in the same way, right, which is... I think is a problem, right? Now I would say consider grouping data by time in certain cases. Right now you get like a, all the statements in one table, right? And if you have a lot of statement variety, that table tends to overflow, right? Which is not really helpful, right? And if you have to kind of reset your queries all the time, that is not very, you know. Good practice, in my opinion. Provide list of tables query touches, right? That is very helpful because, well, MySQL parser already knows it, right? It knows tables with query touches, but it's very hard to parse it out from a query, especially if you consider views, right? I don't know by looking at the query alone wherever something is a table or a view, right? So in this case, information about plan ID. Right, I would like to see for the query, right, some sort of plan hash or something, so I know then query is using something like that. And also what I would call like a top weight summary. Right, right now we have information about the weights in MySQL performance query and about query, but I cannot see and say, oh, that query was slow because it spent XYZ amount of waiting on something or whatever. Right. Or at least kind of like a, some small class of queries, right? No, I don't think that's convenient. Well, with that, that's all I had to say. Hope that will help you to avoid tuning your indexes by the credit card. And yes.
Do you have some time for some questions?
Oh, I have a time for questions. You told me like, Peter, 5 minutes.
Yeah, to end, so you have time.
Oh, to answer, I have a ton of questions. Yes, any questions? No? Oh, yeah.
What's the difference or advantages of this SQL commenter thing compared to what Open Tracing Standard does? Because Taos kind of tracing the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's the difference of SQL commenter?
Well, what I would say in this case, yes. I mean, there is obviously Open Tracing Framework, right, which you can use. This gets specifically to the database and specifically in every query, right? If you look at the Open Tracing Framework, I think, you know, getting every query, right, maybe a lot of volume out there, right? And again, I also think, the good thing if also SQL commenter, right, is what that does it automatically, if you will, right? That does not require you to take an extra integration.
Thank you.
Okay, anybody else?
The PMN tool, is it like, it works also with MariaDB?
Oh, yeah, I mean, it works with MariaDB as well. Yes?
Are there some good practices you can do to avoid your query just randomly going down a different plan?
Well, there are practices. There are no good practices. Right? There is a lot of optimizer hints you can use, right? So you can actually force the query to go like this particular stuff, right? But that also prevents optimizer choosing different plan if better plan becomes available. Yeah.
Never use forced index, always use ignore index, and you will mostly avoid what Peter just warned you about.
Okay. Okay, well, then thank you, folks.